You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money Markets podcast for this Friday, the 21st of November 2025. Bloodbath from the Australian share market today. The S&P ASX 200 down 1.6% to 8,416. $40 billion wiped off the value of our listed companies on the 200, and it means the index is now down 7.5% over the past month. Today though, most of the banks declined. CommBank, the only one of the big four to rise, up by 0.04%. Though a consumer stocks down across the board, with the exception of Coles, which added 0.45%. Energy stocks weaker, Woodside off by 2.7%. Property stocks also down, with one of the biggest losers, the materials sector, BHP off by 3.2%. Fortescue Metals off by 5.5%. So those stocks doing quite poorly, bringing down the index. Also, gold producers hit pretty hard today. This is all despite what was potentially seen as a turning point for the market, those NVIDIA results, which came out yesterday, record quarterly revenues. So why didn't the market react positively? Because NVIDIA shares also fell in the US. For that and more, I spoke with Lachlan Holloway from Morningstar. Lachlan, firstly, NVIDIA's results yesterday were better than expected, yet its shares fell. The NASDAQ also declined despite a promising start. And today, so too did our share market. So why?
Well, look, it was a strong result versus market consensus and versus our forecasts. We upgraded our fair value for NVIDIA after the result. And initially, in the post-market trade on the NASDAQ, NVIDIA was up about 5%. So it seemed like the market was pretty happy with the numbers as well. And then things seemed to cool off. It looked like maybe people were beginning to poke holes again in the AI narrative, a bit of a sentiment shift today, probably compounded a little bit by the stronger jobs numbers, which potentially pushed out Fed rate cuts. So it's kind of a bit of a negative sentiment swing against NVIDIA. But, you know, in the fundamentals, we thought it was a strong result for NVIDIA. We're a bit perplexed by the reaction today. But, you know, in the short term, you do have these sentiment swings and animal spirits, and this is what can happen.
So on AI, do you think then, based on what you're seeing at NVIDIA and then around the sector, do you think there's still more room for this AI story to run?
Look, we think so. NVIDIA looks, you know, moderately undervalued to us. We reiterate that there is a, you know, a high degree of uncertainty around NVIDIA, as there is around the AI sector, I think, in general. We have to see whether all of this capital expenditure is going to bear the returns, but from the NVIDIA perspective, in terms of demand for their chips, that looks really strong. And we think that we're not in bubble territory, at least not yet. That might happen. But right now, we think the fundamentals are backing up the share price gains. So we're, generally speaking, you know, reasonably positive on AI. We don't think there's huge discounts in a lot of the AI stocks in the Mag 7, but the market's getting this about right.
I guess in general terms, one of the reasons why we've seen a lot of these tech stocks come off lately is this fear that interest rates in the US may stay high for longer, right? We saw those jobs numbers coming out of the States overnight. I think 119,000 created in September. That was stronger than expected, although the unemployment rate rose to 4.4%. This came as the US government shutdown was in full force. How is all of this being viewed by the markets, and how do you think the Federal Reserve will take it on board?
So I think the Fed is approaching this pretty cautiously. Obviously, those jobs numbers were disrupted by the shutdown, and the Fed had started to indicate that it probably wasn't going to make a big call at its December meeting based on impartial data. We'd thought a few months ago that a December cut was likely, but we've actually pushed that back now to early next year. We still think the case is there for more monetary support for the US economy and more cutting from the Fed, but it might take a little bit longer until we start to develop a clearer picture and the more complete data starts to come through. We're in that pattern again in terms of equities, as you mentioned, where good news on the economic front is now bad news for stocks, because that means the Fed might have to wait a little bit longer to cut. Higher rates, generally not good news for equities.
Okay. What about our share market? Where we've seen a lot of the big falls have been coming from the blue chips, right? The likes of CSL down 18% in a month, Macquarie Group down by 16%, CommBank 12%. What does this say about what was driving the market before this correction, and what does it mean for investors now?
Well, if you think back to April when we had the Liberation Day sell-off and then a huge bounce back, a V-shaped bull market coming out of that period, there was a lot of optimism, rebounding sentiment, multiple expansion on what was probably not necessarily a strong fundamental story. You know, in the sort of post-tariff world, we had all these geopolitical questions, how would tariffs affect the global economy and our economy? But stocks did really, really well. And now if you got a little bit divorced from the fundamentals, I think what we've seen in the last few weeks is investors reassessing whether prices had run a little bit too hard. We've had an absolute tearing ahead, ripping ahead of in bank share prices here in Australia in the last few years without any obvious fundamental driver. They're trading on valuation multiples that they basically never have in their history. And I think investors are saying, well, wait a minute, is that a reasonable price to pay for fairly slow growing, good businesses, but bellwether stocks who don't usually attract valuation multiples like that? I think that sends some of the heat come out of those big, rather richly priced large caps.
Okay, so if that's the large caps, what kind of role are small caps playing right now?
Well, small caps, interesting one, because we have seen them as much more reasonably priced than the larger companies over the last few years. I mean, really since sort of 2021, 2022, when we saw that big inflation shock and then monetary tightening, I think a lot of investors flew into the blue chip large cap quality names as a sort of safe haven, flight to quality, away from the small caps. So the small caps have lagged in Australia for a number of years now. And that's meant that they haven't enjoyed the strong share price gains of the blue chips, but also their valuations look more reasonable because they're more in line with the fundamentals there. So we think that generally speaking, the small caps are still more reasonably priced than the larger companies, particularly the banks. But I would caution that these are, as a group, lower quality businesses. They're small for a reason. You know, businesses with competitive advantages and moats generally compound over time and become big. So I think you have to be selective about investing in the small cap space. I think where there are good quality smaller companies, they can serve a great role on the periphery of a portfolio. Probably not the core, though, but they are a more interesting hunting ground now for investors who are conscious of stretch valuations at the larger end.
And wrapping everything we've just discussed then, what are you telling your clients right now, and where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Well, I think the positive thing, arguably, about the pullback in the market here, particularly in the last few weeks, is that valuations, particularly at the large end, are starting to look a little bit more reasonable to us. Back in sort of August, coming out of company reporting season, we'd seen things as quite stretched. And some of the heat's coming out of that now, which is good news for investors because our market doesn't look as stretched as it does, which means you can perhaps start to be a little bit, maybe less defensive, because everything looks a bit more reasonable. That's positive. I would say there are pockets of the market that still look a little bit expensive. But for the most part, excluding, say, the banks, things are looking a little bit better at large in the market, and that's good news.
That's Lachlan Halloway there from Morningstar, and he wraps up the podcast for this Friday and for the week. Don't forget, if you enjoy it, give it a rating or review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Click that subscribe button, and I'll see you next week.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.